special loving welcome to those of you who are tuning in on Zoom. And we just ask the Holy Spirit to bless our service and send love around the world through our time today. Just a couple of announcements for our attention, please. And that is, we have a Centering Prayer Retreat coming up on Saturday the 26th. That starts at 9 a.m., concludes at 3, and you can register for that online. There's also an Introduction to Centering Prayer that morning as well, starting at 10. You can register for that online. Go to the Church Happenings page for any of those items. We also are blessed to have Father Carl Rico. He was going to come in person, but he's coming online, and so we'll Zoom with Father Carl. He's going to be presenting a one-day centering prayer retreat entitled Celebration of God's Work in Our Lives. Celebration of God's Work in Our Lives, and that'll be on Saturday. It's limited to 10 people, so if you go to the website, you can register for that or call the church office. And just as a hint, I think that there's also going to be an offering on Friday night with Father Carl giving a special presentation. So you might just block that off on your calendars, October 9th and October 10th. Also, you can tell that we are partially reopening, and so you can sign up to participate in worship in person. And you can do that on the Happenings page or the church web front page. And it's very simple. You can register for that to come to this service or the Wednesday evening service. And then the last announcement is that at the end of this service, we're going to try a e-fellowship room. So what this will mean is that a code will come up on the screen at the end of this service for a Zoom room. And you can just copy or click on that code and then go into a fellowship room. And the fellowship room will stay open for about 15, 20 minutes. Encourage you to just share with your friends and meet new people and share what God is doing in your life and say hi to those. It's an experiment. We'll try it. That's all the announcements I have. Today we'll be focusing on the fact that there's a lot going on in our culture and our world that can capture our attention. And we'll be setting up the notion of how we love God with all our, next week will be heart, but we want to focus on the word all. What does that mean to love God with all of our being? And especially when we're so easily distracted by what's occurring in our culture. So it'll be a call to be work students, a call to be focused in the silence and in our center versus being drawn out into the circumference of life. Let's take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to be our guide this morning and to bless each of us for what we need in worship, and that through this service, in some way, our world, our community, our families, our home would each be blessed in love and increasing consciousness. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit Come. Friends in the sanctuary, you may sing softly or hum with us.
Spirit, come.
please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, we thank you for each of our lives and the gift of our existence in this moment of time. We ask that by the power of your Spirit you would activate in us a quality of love, peace and patience, kindness and gentleness and goodness. We ask that this service would feed us with these influences and transform our lives more into love. We ask for the sake of our own lives and relationships, but also for the sake of this world and our planet, and the role we play in supporting further evolution for this species. We ask for your blessing upon this church, for clarity, wisdom, guidance, joy, harmony, peace, and abundant blessings in unexpected ways in each of our lives and for all on this planet. We pray this in your most holy and precious threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Please join me in our invocation. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. And our verse, surely God is in this place. Echo.
Surely God is in this place.
And I did not know it. So we have one new Lucky Lightworker this week, and it's Billy Woods, our own piano player. Congratulations, Billy. And to all the children out there, I know you're lucky light workers. But maybe you don't want me to say your name in front of all the people in the church. So if you want to be a lucky light worker and you don't want me to say your name, you can put that in your email. Hey, Wilson. Well, Red, it's so good to see you. Ooh, it looks like you've been crying.
Yes, my friend Ruthie died.
Oh, I'm sorry for your loss. Can you tell me about her?
Well, she lived in the Enchanted Forest with us, and she was very brave, and she always helped us when we were not being fair and sharing. And I'm just kind of afraid that the boys are going to get the upper hand again.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, they made some rules, like girls couldn't wear any colors but pink. And that wasn't fair to me because I like to wear my red hood. My granny made it for me. And she just got right in the middle of things, and she told those boys they couldn't make those silly rules.
Well, that sounds smart of her.
Well, she also came and helped us when they said that girls had to play house and have tea parties and that we couldn't go fighting dragons. And that was something that all the Marys, Miss Mary quite contrary, and Mary with her little lamb, they wanted to be giant killers and dragon hunters, and they didn't want to just have tea parties. So Miss Ruthie, she helped us all learn how to get along and how to be fair. Well, that sounds very brave of her to get in the middle of all of that. And do you think that you can be brave without her? Well, she taught me how to disagree, and I think I can, but I don't think I can face the trolls and the giants and the ogres like she did. One time, there was a troll under a bridge, and it was not letting the billy goats go over the bridge. And Miss Ruthie went out there, and she talked to that troll. And guess what? What? I can't wait to find out how she fixed that. Well, she found out that the troll was just banging his head against that bridge all the time because he was so big and it was hard to get under it. And then when the goats try to get over the bridge, he had a headache, and it made him really grumpy. And so she talked the goats into not going over the bridge anymore. Well, how in the world did she do that? Well, she convinced them that the grass on the other side wasn't really greener. Oh, she sounds very wise. I know you'll miss her. Well, I miss her especially now because it's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh, what? Well, it's Rosh Hashanah, which is one of the high holy days of the Jewish people. And Miss Ruthie would always tell us the creation story. And she would bring us apples and honey. And we would have a little feast. And we would throw breadcrumbs into the stream for all the things we wanted to forget about, things like mistakes that we made. And she would tell that creation story, and it was so beautiful. Oh, I love that story. You know what the most important part is? Well, the part about creating the people and the animals? No, I think it's the part where God said, "It is good." God said that every single day. And I think God is still saying that every single day. It is good. Wow, I never thought about that being the most important part. Is it still good? Of course it is, honey. Remember, you're a lucky light worker. It is good. You just have to remember that God is in this place. And then you can't help but know that God is here and that it is good. And you know what? Your friend Miss Ruthie, she's not really gone. She's not? No, she'll be a part of everything, everywhere, through all time, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus? That's right. Remember, God is in this place, and so is everything. Thank you. And you know what? You can be brave right now. Look over there. The wolf is after those three little pigs. Go stop him. Oh, stop, stop.
Our first reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." Our second reading is taken from the book of James, chapter 1. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. But ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. May these readings nourish your journeys deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Series on inviting us to give our attention to loving God in a time when our attention is easily distracted to other things. Huh? What a morning. I just was reading an email early this morning from a fellow who said that, and I'll read it to us today, but he said that Mars is in retrograde and it's impacting everything, including our microphones, I guess. We're in this series that I intentionally wished would be an opportunity for us to anchor ourselves in the biggest principle and wish that I think a human being can have. And it's all the more important in a context that is our culture, which I do not speak to specifically. You know what I'm speaking of. But the question becomes, why do we have to, we who have work principles, we who have spiritual practice, we who have ideas that have transformed our lives, why do we have to become or get identified with the culture in the similar way that those who do not have principles or ideas or practices do? Is there a way for us to use our energy in a different way during this season on behalf of others? Is there a way for you and for me to accumulate a force of energy by way of loving God with the totality of our being? And in so doing, give our attention willfully to something else that everyone else is not giving their attention to, so to speak, because it's going to politics and culture. This is not making anything wrong. This is an invitation to ask yourself, how are you spending your God-given energy? How are you using your God-given centers of your system? How are you using your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength? And we have free will, all of us do. We can give these things away to all sorts of different energies, dynamics, people, causes, ideas. We have free will to do that. But why not make a wish with me, the deepest wish of your being, to say, during this season of cosmological influence, of cultural influence, of political influence, of economic influence, of ecological influence, of pandemic influence, of educational influence, of mental illness influence, of substance abuse influence, of parents extraordinarily stretched thin to the breaking point with children at home, schooling, all these extraordinary influences that are impacting us, all the more reason for us to dig deeper and say, yes, I will take you up, Lord. I will seek to love you with all of my being in every dimension. That is a wonderful, wonderful invitation to use our will in that way, our freedom in that way. And that's what this series is all about, and that's my wish. And there's a lot of ways to get there, but maybe you can just feel my passion, my wish. Maybe you can just feel it in my voice. We are so blessed as a community to have profound ideas. And let me just put it this way. If I looked at your Facebook feed, if I looked at your Twitter account, if I looked at what news you're consuming, could I tell you were a work student? Could you tell that I'm a work student? They'll know you by your love. They'll know a tree by its fruit. We speak these things. Do we live them out where it really, really hits the rubber meets the road? This is not judgment. This is a question. It's a wondering. Are we really all we say we are? A community of people who wish to make God devotion the center of their lives? Are we really that? Or is it something we can continue to aspire and live into? Am I really that? No. It's something I aspire and live into. In 1835, a book was published. And when I read this book, I was very encouraged because I realized nothing has changed. Nothing has changed one little bit. Our country was 59 years old. 59 years old. And a Frenchman by the name of Alex de Tocqueville came and toured our country and gave us a legacy of a book that still is beautiful and useful and wise today. And in chapter 8, he has a little section called The Crisis of the Election. And I'm going to read this. Now, keep in mind, this was published in 1835. And so I want you to hear this in the context of A, influences. I want you to hear this in the context of the fact that nothing changes unless people work on themselves. Okay? Think of it in terms of your being draws your life. Listen to this through those work ideas and see what you see about our current situation. 1835, Democracy in America, his book is published, and he writes, "The election may be considered a national crisis. Why? The passions of the people. Anxiety of the leader, the calm which succeeds the agitation of the election. I have shown that what the circumstances are which favored the adoption of the elective system, the Americans are habitually accustomed to all kinds of elections, and they know by experience the utmost degree of excitement which is compatible with sense of security. The vast extent of the country and the dissemination of the inhabitants renders a collision between parties less probable and less dangerous there than anywhere else. The political circumstances under which the elections have hitherto been carried on have presented no real embarrassments to the nation yet. Nevertheless, the epoch, the season of the election of a president of the United States may be considered as a crisis in the affairs of the nation. The influence which the president exercises on public business is no doubt feeble and indirect, but the choice of the president, which is of small importance to each individual citizen, concerns the citizens collectively, and however trifling an interest may be, it assumes a great degree of importance as soon as it becomes general. For a long while before the appointed time is at hand, the election becomes the most important and all-engrossing topic of discussion." 1835. For a long appointed time, before the election, it becomes the most important and all-engrossing topic of discussion. The ardor of faction is redoubled, and all the artificial passions which the imagination can create in the bosom of a happy and peaceful land are agitated and brought to light. The president, on the other hand, is absorbed by the cares of self-defense. The president no longer governs for the interest of the state, but for that of the re-election. The president does homage to the majority, and instead of checking its passions as duty commands, frequently courts its worst caprices. As the election draws near, the activity of intrigue and the agitation of the populace increase. The citizens are divided into hostile camps, each of which assumes the name of its favorite. And the whole nation glows with a feverish excitement. The election is the daily theme of the public papers, the subject of private conversation, the end of every thought and every action, the sole interest of the present moment. But as soon as the choice is determined, this ardor is dispelled, and a calmer season returns, and the current of the state, which had nearly broken its banks, swelled with negative emotion, sinks to its usual level. 1835. These influences have been here, they're here, they'll be here. Why would you give your precious gift of attention to them? Why would you give your focus to them? Why would you let them, why would I let them steal my force? Now, that's a good question, and this invites an opportunity for all of us to ask a question: am I really loving God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, or just a part of it? And this is really a significant question for us in a community that understands the reality that we are a multiplicity, that we have different eyes in us that are attracted to different things. And so those two ideas, that we are a multiplicity, that we have different eyes that are attracted to different things, begin to help us have empathy, not only on our own self, but on what is happening in our culture, because we can have empathy and recognize, externally consider, everyone is fragmented like a shattered mirror with multiplicity. Everyone is dealing with their different eyes, and it's not always rational. And this creates a deep sense of empathy for the state of the world and the state of our country. And so what I wish to ponder is, what's the antidote? What's the alternative? And to recognize that there are options available to us by which we give our energy in different ways. This passage from the Gospel of Luke that we've been reading every single Sunday for the last three Sundays, from Luke chapter 10, which is the invitation to love God with all of our being, I'd like to just share with you two things about the passage. The first is that the word "all" is a clue to this meaning psychologically. The word "all" in Greek is holos, H-O-L-O-S, holos. And some of you instantly, because you've read Ilia Delio and other teachers, hear the word holon. That is what it means. The word holos means whole. There's another word in Greek called pan, and it means everything. Think of everything that you could comprehend. It's the big everything. It's the big all. But this Greek word holos has more to do with all of it in its specificity. This and 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 this. It has to do with the multiplicity of things and the multiplicity of ourself. And so this beautiful invitation is to integration by way of love, integration of all the different aspects of ourself, not a general everything, but the specificity of the wholeness of parts, that every single part of you loves God.
And that's a different thing. That's a very different thing than the general, you know, all and everything, and the specific, all the parts that comprise the whole. And so this is really a call to spiritual healing and integration of our multiplicity into that realness, into that oneness of master, as the work calls it. The one in us that isn't identified, that's remembering itself in source and isn't giving its energy away to this and to that so easily and quickly. And when we do give our energy away to this or that so easily or quickly, we see something about ourselves and we learn from it. And we discover how inner taste is when we do give ourselves away to that something, and we learn from that experience, ah, I've been here before, I've heard this argument, I've heard this statement, I've felt this emotion, I've watched this scene, and I know that I didn't like how I felt afterward, so I'm going to not give my attention to it. And in just that act, we integrate a part of ourselves to love God with all of the specificity in our multiplicity, little by little. And the second thing about this little passage is that it's a singular you. It's not a plural you. It's not a y'all. It's a singular you. Each of you, each of us, and no one else can do this for you. No one else can integrate all the parts of yourself to love God. This is something that only you can do for yourself, and only you can do on your journey. Only you can work with the multiplicity of your parts. And the other side of the coin of this is, don't do someone else's work. You know, you cannot make someone else love God in the way you love God. You cannot make someone else be integrated. You cannot force their integration or even their awareness of their multiplicity. So this is, be in your own body and do your own work. And this is really kind of the exhortation that our media capacity draws us out of ourselves into other people. And so we're thinking and being fed by what other people are thinking and doing. And this deep distraction of our own inner life into other people is parasitic in a certain sense. That's not to say we don't learn and from our relationality and from our interconnectedness. We do. I learn great amounts from people sharing with me things. The question becomes, when my focus is on someone else, what they're thinking, doing, even if they're famous, even if they're powerful, even if they're the smartest people, when I am identified with them, I lose my center and I can't do my inner love for God with all the parts of myself. When you focus on you. There's a road on the edge of this country called Highway 1. And I have had the joy of driving down that highway many times, going to New Camaldoli Hermitage. And I have to acknowledge that there are sections of that road that are terrifying to drive on because of the intense curves, and there is no guard, and there's a 500-foot drop to the ocean and rocky shore. That would probably mean instant death if you careened off the road. And the problem for me is that when I first get on that road and there's the Pacific Ocean in all its beauty and that stunning scene of the mountains descending into the ocean, is that my attention is distracted at the beauty of the ocean. And there have been a few moments where I have noticed that if I hadn't looked back at the road, I probably would have driven off the edge. And this is an invitation for all of us to recognize there might be something really beautiful and worthy of looking at. But if you lose your focus on that center, something unexpected can happen that may not be good for you. And this idea of focusing on what we wish for, focusing on loving God with the totality of our being, connects with the work idea. I think no other work idea connects with that notion of focusing than the work idea of self-remembering. And so I'm going to try and read a passage with this microphone from this book. This is volume 5 of the commentaries, page 1282. And this is really the sermon for us today, because this answers the how. This answers how do we love with all, with the totality of our parts. And this is really the answer that the work gives me little by little. And this was written in 1949, which is a really good reminder to us as you read the commentaries and look at the dates. And you can see that for 4 or 5 years, during which England was under extraordinary stress of World War II, bombings, the threat of German occupation and invasion, uncertainty of the outcome, this beautiful small little group of conscious beings listening to the teaching of Maurice and his wife, Nicole, never even once hint that there's a war going on. And some might say there's because they were wealthy or they had privilege. Well, maybe that's in part. But isn't the wealthy also the chattering class? But here, not a hint of it in the commentaries during perhaps the most tumultuous, risky years of human civilization. Not a whiff of World War II. We could learn from that. We could learn from that in our personal reports on Thursday night. We could learn from that in our conversations in our journey groups. We could learn from that for ourselves and our family. Not a whiff of it. The Second World War that ended with the first detonation of an atomic bomb. Not a whiff. Could these wise beings be giving us a model? And how might they have done that? How might Maurice Nicol, how might he have done that? And this is how I believe. He practiced self-remembering. And he says, when a man, so when you hear the word man, we'll just know that we mean humankind, person. When a person remembers himself, he seeks not to be identified with his personality. He seeks another feeling and sense of himself. He seeks to not know himself, as it were, to empty himself of himself. Are you willing, am I willing to empty myself of myself in this season? He makes himself passive. He makes himself passive. Well, our culture is telling us to do the exact opposite. Our culture loves it when we all have first force, because that brings a ton of second force. But the person who is self-remembering makes himself passive. He wishes to receive something that has hitherto not been granted. He seeks to lift himself, above the noise of his multiplicity, above the inner clamor of negative emotions, grievances, fears, suspicious feelings, anxious thoughts, worries, money, professional and business excitements, above odd vanities and conceits, and above false self-valuation, and I might add false valuations of others. He seeks to distinguish something in himself that is not any of these things, nor 1,000 other similar things created by life and culture in him. They are similar because they have all the same taste, if you observe them, over many years. 1935, and nothing has really changed. I mean, 1835. Yes, things created by life have the same taste. Election after election, crisis after crisis, fight after fight, argument after argument, they all have the same taste. They are all similar because they all have the same taste if you observe them over many years. Yes, things created by life have the same taste as in a restaurant or on board ship. The food tastes the same to the senses. They belong to the hypnotic machinery of life, which keeps us so easily fast asleep in fictions of ourselves. That is, in a state of not self-remembering, that one can only laugh at oneself, being as one is still under it. And that really brings in the idea of working with the light and taking it all lightly, which is not always easy to do when you're watching the news. I looked at a news website on my phone the other day at a red light, and I've told myself I'm not going to look at that particular news outlet because the third story was something I didn't want in my mind ever. It was of a sexual nature. Why is that news? Why do I need to know that? And I didn't take it lightly, and it made me identified, and it brought an inner taste of negativity. And that really is hard to counter. So how do we work with the light? How do we, you know, not get identified? How do we remember ourselves? And for me, it's turning the TV off, keeping it off, really regulating what I'm looking at on websites, and to the effect that I don't look at the internet, except to look, Google something like how to give a sermon to a camera. So, how to not fall apart in COVID, how to eat healthier, you know. But I take walks out in nature, and this is a big thing for all of us, to spend more time in the energy of nature. Nature doesn't ask anything from us. It doesn't take energy from us. It gives. It's the mother. And she just loves us and loves us and loves us and wants us to love it. And those subtle energies are available for all of us. So in spite of knowing we are asleep and even feeling it a little, we are caught and hypnotized by life. And when we wake up, we can laugh at ourselves. And this will bring us to the cosmological side of things. When born, we are in essence. As we pass under the influences of life, our center of gravity passes into the personality. Now at this season, I ask you, this very day, this very month, this very autumn, I ask you, what does your personality wish for? Especially the false personality. What is it trying to take from you or give to you? Have you observed it? Have you observed those parts of yourself? And the fact that we don't have to give our attention to life all the time. We don't have to give ourselves to our false personality. We don't have to give ourselves to those eyes in us that are charged by conflict or distraction, but that we can work at integrating little by little by way of seeing these things. So the very fact that we have a conversation about this doesn't make anyone wrong or bad. What it does is it shows us the contrast between being awake and being asleep. It shows us the contrast of being identified and self-remembering. It shows us the contrast of what it means to walk on the water of life or sink into life. And I'll conclude by reading an email from a beautiful man. His name is Russell Forsyth. He's a healer of several dimensions and modalities. And I've been extremely blessed by this man, and he sent an email out, and I just want to share this with us because it gives us the cosmological dimension. He says, just this week, Mars went into retrograde, and this will last through mid-November, this cosmological influence. And he says that repressed emotions during this time may surface. And so this is the time to connect with Master inside. This year maintains the pressure of identifying and speaking your needs, establishing your priorities, setting goals, and feeling your intentions. Feeling the intention of what would it mean to give our energy to loving God with all of our self for the next 2 months for the sake of our culture and world. And then he says this beautiful, beautiful reflection. There has to be a way to flow with this energy rather than resist it. The stars and planets move in harmony with each, producing a unique vibrational signature, like a symphony that performs an original score. The planets create a beautiful union of sound and notation, enthralling and mesmerizing. The synergistic movement strikes deep in the heart of every human as to their role in the universe's orchestra. With no other form of stimulation, and in a moment of stillness, listen to that, with no other stimulation, and in a moment of stillness, the unfiltered body would feel compelled to dance to the music in union with the celestial movement from above. I hear purification of emotional center there. And he goes on, humans search to know their place in the universe while the planets hold their position in cosmic regions of outer space. The solar system provides stability as a grounding force, forming a bridge from Earth to the heavens. The appearance of a planet moving backwards provides the opportunity for each person to assess their own spiritual path. Enlightenment or self-remembering means shining a light on the truth to know who you are and understand why and how you're being tested. If you come to a boulder on the path, would you turn around and go back the way you came? Would you find exhilaration in climbing over the hurdle to move forward on your journey? Finding strength comes from knowing your position and relationship in the universe and making the occasional adjustment to the driving forces that compelled you to this moment. Harmony and peace come from balancing the opposing energies that everyone faces in their existence. Harmony and peace come from balancing, come from third force, the opposing energies that everyone faces in their existence. Freedom is available to those who choose love as their guiding light, which moves them through any darkness. It's really important for us to recognize that we're a part of something very big, and that as we have parts, so does the universe. How are we playing our part? May we contribute to increasing harmony and peace. And that passage from James, which says, don't be double-minded. That word is translated as doubt, but it's more than doubt, because it could be more literally translated, don't be fragmented. Don't be lost in your multiplicity and lose force and miscenter. And so for all of us, may all of us, all the parts of ourself, may we wish that the totality of all our parts increasingly come into integration and wholeness for the sake of this life that we've each been given, for the sake of our loved ones, for the sake of our families and our community, our nation, for the sake of our leaders, for the sake of the future of humankind on this planet, for the sake of our solar system, our regional galaxy, and the universe. And let us do so with a sense of joy that we get to play our part. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence and allow the stillness to integrate whatever spirit is arising in you today. Holy Spirit of God, we ask for your grace to hover over our lives and over our country, over our world, and help us to be people who remember and love you and love one another as ourselves. We pray this in your most holy and precious threefold name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands or into our conscious heart, and we remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. We give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember that truth together now. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen.
Let me drink from your living water. Let me drink from your living water.
Let us now collect the fragments of our being and simply consent to the silence of centering prayer for 10 minutes, consenting to God's ever-present love, presence, and action in our lives.
The Eucharist is a beautiful symbol of grace coming down to us, breaking itself open in devotion to us and giving itself to us. And so in a certain sense, the breaking of these fragments then gets distributed to the whole and creates a holon out of many, the body of Christ. All around the world today, people are taking part of little parts of the Eucharist. And as we do that today here in this room, and wherever you may be at home, we are reconstituting the oneness by partaking in the particularness. It's such a beautiful physical embodiment of the mystery of divine love calling us into the oneness of our future. As you prepare to partake in Eucharist at home, I encourage you to prepare your own table, and you can get that ready if you haven't done so. A piece of bread or juice or a cup of wine is a blessing. And as we celebrate here in the room, I ask and invite you to partake in the bread as I partake in the bread, and to partake in the juice as I partake in it, even though you won't be drinking. But you can in your consciousness partake in that way. And the same at home, as we share in the Eucharist, I invite you to partake as I partake. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on all these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the one body of Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us each with your Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform, heal, and integrate all of us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our source, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may overflow into completion. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. I invite you to stand and join in softly singing Amazing Grace. What a morning. I thank you for your presence here today in person and in Zoom and in the beautiful cloud of our church that has expanded the love of God all around our country and world. It's such a gift. We love you out there, and we know you are in here. And the gift of being a community is so felt in presence. But I'm learning that it's also felt in spirit too. A reminder that we have a fellowship, e-fellowship room available, and the number, the Zoom number will come up on the screen as soon as I conclude with the benediction, and invite you to hang out and visit and chat with friends or meet new folks, share what God's doing in your life, how you're learning and growing, and just perhaps be with one another in that way. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with each of us and all of us, now and forever. Amen.